You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is
God bless
Sherry
you. Thank
Medlock.
You, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1. Last time we learned that the extremely beautiful, exotic fallen angels called the Nephilim kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, which was heaven. And instead of being born again, being born from above, born of women, they came to planet Earth with their beautiful angelic bodies and seduced the beautiful daughters of Eth-Ha-Adam, the man Adam, through whom was to come the Christ child, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they had children, and the children were called Geber, which means giants, and they were a hybrid. So God looked and he thought, good Lord, I told everybody not to mix the seed, and look, everybody's mixing the seed. It was difficult for him to find anybody who had not mixed in with the fallen angels, or who had not mixed the races, or who had not mixed in with the Kenites, the descendants of Cain. But he found one man named Noah. Noah's name means rest. And he found that Noah had the right pedigree or the right lineage through whom Messiah could come. So he said, Noah, build an ark for you and your family. There were just eight of them. They were of the true seed line of the man Adam. And then I want you to take two of every flesh and put them on the board of the ark, plus two of animals and doves and birds and beasts, and also two of all the races, Genesis 1:26, that humankind, all races, that's how they survived, and two of the Kenites. But your eight family members to prolong and to keep the seed line going so Messiah Jesus can come through. And God says, I'm going to send a flood of water on the earth, and I'm going to drain the swamp. So that's where we left off.
And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
The word generation there means lineage or pedigree. Remember, God loves all of his people. And in Genesis 1:26, he made male and female them. But that word is humankind. In mankind in general, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, and God says, very good. But then he had a special man, the man Adam, Eth Ha-Adam in the Hebrew, and Eve, through whom would come Messiah. So he said, you've got a perfect pedigree, arks, Noah, so I want you to go into the ark.
Verse 2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two.
Okay, now, God has created some animals and some birds to be clean animals, and some are called unclean. Later on, you might like to read Leviticus 11 to see which ones are clean and which are unclean. Now, why is God upping the number on the clean beast? Because while they're in the ark, you don't stop worshiping God. And since Jesus had not yet come, God was hardly able to find the right genealogy for him to come through. Jesus had not paid the sin debt. So they did the animal sacrifices, but God would only accept clean beasts, clean animals. So he took some extra ones so they could worship God. But they also, Leviticus 11 says, only the clean ones are to be eaten. So they're also for food, plus they wanted to preserve two of them to keep that lineage going. So then why did he also bring unclean beasts on them? Well, because they have a purpose. We have the unclean beast. Read that in Leviticus 11. They are called nature's vacuum cleaner. See, they have a purpose. They have a beautiful purpose. But you clean up stuff with your vacuum cleaner. I did this yesterday, but I didn't empty it out and make some soup out of the stuff. Okay, you don't eat the vacuum cleaner. So what they do, they clean up the waste. If you've ever seen a farm of slop hogs, you would never want to eat anything that pig ate or eat the pig, because they'll eat even human waste. And then the lobster is like a giant cockroach, and I hated this because I used to love lobster until I found out what it did. And the shrimp actually eats the waste of the other fishes in the thing. Sorry about that, but they are nature's vacuum cleaner. They serve a great purpose. So why does God want clean animals? That makes sense to eat, to offer the sacrifice. But why would he bring the unclean ones? To clean up the mess. You got human beings in there, and you got animals with all of their body functions. There you have nature's vacuum cleaner, the cleanup committee. God likes things clean. So see, now I could just hear somebody, well, when Jesus died on the cross, that fixed it so we could eat pig and shrimp and lobster. No, you're misquoting 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, do not let anyone judge you in meats that you eat that are meant to be, that are cleansed by God. He did not die on the eat of the cross so you could eat unclean animals.
The male and his female, three of fowls also of the air by sevens.
And see, the birds were often, the doves were beautiful, clean birds. They could be offered for the sacrifice.
The male and the female.
But the unclean, he would have them on there. What would that be? The vulture, the buzzard. You know what a buzzard does? Have you ever seen roadkill? The buzzard's out there cleaning up the mess.
To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth.
But you don't eat the buzzard.
For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
40 in biblical numerics is always a number of probation. Actually, any number for 4 or 40 or even the 400 years that the children of Israel were in bondage and slavery to Egypt. If you remember that after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit lit on Jesus like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And why did Jesus need to fast? He had to create a weakness within himself. He put himself on probation to show us that if he can do it, you can do it.
And every living substance that I have made, I will destroy.
The word destroy there is the same word used in the New Testament when it tells us that after the 1,000 years reign of peace with Jesus on the earth, when he comes, he's not flying away, he's right here, and with the elect teaching with him, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, God's going to have the great white throne judgment, and then all who are found guilty will walk into the lake of fire. And it says that they will be destroyed. The word destroyed there means the same thing as what we just read. It means blotted out, does not exist.
Off the face of the earth. 5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth.
What a birthday present, 600 years old and the first flood. Now remember, it had never rained on the earth before. God had his own sprinkler system that the water, the moisture would just come up like the dew and water the produce and vegetables. But now here comes the rain.
7, and Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him.
Now these are 8 Adamic souls. That was the pure lineage. That does not include 2 of all the races, but he did put them in 2 of the Kenites plus 2 of the animals. This was the lineage through which Jesus would come. There were 8 of them, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his sons. So this is very important. I mean, of all the people that God had made, and he said repent of them, he had made you in the flesh. He's only got 8 now that he can send his son through. Wow.
Into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. 8, and of clean beast, and of beasts that are not clean.
Okay, here comes the clean and unclean, but they're going in 2 by 2, plus some extra one of the clean ones for worship and for to be eaten.
And of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. 9, and there went in 2 and 2 unto Noah into the ark, male and female.
Can you imagine that scene? Only God could have orchestrated it. Don't you know that God put into every one of those animals a responder to respond to the call, come? And they just held hands 2 by 2, and it was male and female. Not male and male, not female and female, male and female into the ark.
As God had commanded Noah. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth.
All right. Remember, it had never rained. Can you imagine the people outside? And they're out there having their lewdness and having sexual orgies with the fallen angels. And one of them feels a drop of water on his head. And he turns around to his fellow sinner there and says, did you pour water on me? And the man said, no, water's falling on me too. And suddenly it comes and it's falling on them. And they run to their dwelling places. Then their dwelling places are drowned. And they say, Noah, let us in. We're sorry we made fun of you. Whoa, turmoil.
In the 600th year of Noah's life.
Six is very important, that Noah was 600 years old when this happened. In biblical numerics, 6 is the number of perverted mankind. In other words, depraved mankind. Let me put it that way. Certainly, mankind was depraved when this flood came, because Noah was almost the only, he and his family, the only ones who had not mixed with the fallen angels or mixed the seed. God said, do not mix the seed or mix it with the Kenites. So there was almost no one pure. So it depraved mankind. In Psalm 22, I always teach that on Passover, what the world calls Easter, should be Passover. Jesus had to stay on the cross 6 hours, and that was important to pay the sins for all depraved mankind. And soon and very soon, the 6th trumpet's going to sound. We're in the 5th trump now. It's a time of learning. That's why you're listening to me. You're learning. But at the 6th trump, this old number 666 himself is going to come in the sky, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, that old Lucifer himself, calling himself the Antichrist, and he's going to call himself God's Savior. But he is number 6. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He comes before Jesus. He calls himself Savior. And all of depraved mankind will follow him.
The 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Probation.
13, the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and their wives, Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with him.
8 Adamic souls. They were the only pure lineage left that had not mixed.
Into the ark. 14, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind.
Don't mix the seed, kind after kind, he said.
And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, after his kind, and every fowl after his kind.
Now, this doesn't mean people who are creeps. It means animals that creep.
And every bird of every sort. And they went into Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh.
Of all flesh. Did you get it? He said it again. That's how the races survived. The six-day creation, Genesis 1:26. That male and female was plural. Many women, many men, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious inside. God said it's very good. And two of the Kenites, male and female, because God had promised that Cain's descendants would last. They are very busy in the news and in the government today on the stage scene. So they're doing their work today. But notice there was not any, there were not any fallen angels, and there were not any Geber, the children of the fallen angels and women. Why? They were not of all flesh. They were half and half.
Wherein is the breath of life? 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in.
And the Lord shut him in. What a wonderful thing. There was no one else could do it. Everybody out there was running and screaming, and there was no one left to shut the door. Think of a parrot who's holding his tiny little child in his arms. It's hardly a toddler. And he gently opens the back door and puts the little baby into his little car seat and tucks him in and carefully then shuts the door to make sure the baby's okay. And then the parrot opens the front door and gets in. He's right there in the ark with the child. You better believe God was as much inside the ark as he was outside. Yeah. Your ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. So now it's raining. What does this have to do with you? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happen to these people in the Bible for admonishment for those of us who are alive here at the end of the age. You are the generation of the fig tree, whether you be 5 or 105. This is for you. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when the disciples said, Master, what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus said, now this applies to you. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and took them all away. When you get taken, you've been had. So what does that mean for you? You're going to have a flood. He says what happened will happen to you. Now, God's already promised not to drown us again. So what's the answer? Revelation chapter 12. Michael the archangel is going to kick the dragon, who is the devil, the serpent, Lucifer, and the beautiful coming Antichrist, and his fallen angels, which I taught you last week in Genesis 6. He's going to kick them out of heaven, Revelation 12, and they're coming in the sky before Jesus comes, and they are lookers, and he's going to call himself, the Antichrist is going to call himself Theosater in the Greek, God, Savior. And depraved mankind all over this world, Revelation 13, will worship him and say, it is Jesus come to fly us away. Revelation 12 says that the Antichrist, the fallen angels, are going to come after the woman with a flood. Who is the woman? God's elect men and women who will not be deceived. Few and far between. For even the body of Christ is going to be deceived. Matthew 25, five are wise and five are foolish. It's the flood of lies. What is the lie? The lie fly proverb of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 13, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. The flood has already begun. The flood of lies. The flood of lies. Now, what happened to cause God to destroy all these people, to save only Noah. The sin itself was perversion. God hates perversion. What is perversion? That which is not normal. God made us male and female. I'm sorry, AOC, and all you socialite people trying to run, socialist people running for, and socialites too, running for president. There's only two. Anything else is abnormal. And so God hates that. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for perversion's sake. Male with male, female with female. He destroyed them all except Noah. Once upon a time, the United States of America had the wall of God around us, and nobody dared attack us. Isaiah says that we are a nation without walls. We didn't need a wall because we put God first. But then perversion was made a law of our land, and now we're being invaded by people who want to destroy us, drug lords and F-13s and ISIS and murders and kill us and devil workers and all this. All because of perversion. Now, I want to say this. There might be someone listening, and maybe you've gotten into the lifestyle, men with men, women with women, or you can't figure out what you are. They're trying to make it sound normal now that when a man and woman have a baby, that you don't say whether it's a girl or boy. You just say, I'll wait and let the child decide. I mean, really. I like what Jerry Falwell Jr. did. They tried to get him, you know, his dad formed Liberty University and was a great spokesman for the right in the United States of America. So the liberal media trying to trick Jerry Falwell Jr., they said, we understand that you have a new granddaughter. Are you going to raise your granddaughter as a girl or a boy? Reverend Jerry Falwell looked and said, we're going to raise our granddaughter as a girl. Duh. Okay, but let me say this. To those of you who might be in this lifestyle, I do not hate you. I actually love you. I was very blessed in my life to have talents that put me into live theater. I never had to audition. God put me there. He wanted to train me so I could think on my feet and walk on water and walk on things like I'm doing now with no memory, no notes, and learn how to keep going in show business. But I had friends where we do plays, and they were two guys, and they were homosexuals, and one was named David and one was Jerry. And every time after a cast party, they would call out to me, hey, Sherry, come on over. Let's sing the old Rugged Cross. They had good hearts, and I love them. But they did have that aberration. Some years ago, I had a whole school full in my Bible class of lesbians and homosexuals. They told me, they respected me, that they were, and could they come? I asked them, they had all accepted Jesus, and I said, you're so welcome. I'm here to get the word of God out to you, and I love you. And I did love them very much, but I said, I want you to know I'm not. And when it comes up in the Bible, I'm going to teach it, and I did. But I loved them. So let me help you. We don't hate you. God says it's an abomination, and it can cause you great distress. You'll say, some say to me, but Sherry, I can't help it. It's the way I feel. Well, you know what? I like ice cream. But I know better. I might feel like having ice cream for breakfast. I might feel like having ice cream for lunch. I might feel like having ice cream for dinner. But you know what? I rarely have ice cream because it'll make me sick. Amen. And your little child, what if you put ice cream before it? It would say, but Mommy, I feel like it. I like ice cream. You don't do what you feel like doing. You deny your flesh, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Just say no. Why, heterosexuals, how many times have you met an attractive person of the opposite sex and they were married and you kind of felt a little tingle there? You don't go have an affair with them. You say, excuse me, I got to run over here and pray. Get away from that. You understand? You just say no, as Nancy Reagan said. So that's no excuse. We all have to give up something, so give up sin. Amen.
17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark.
Now, talk about a Disney World ride. This is better than SeaWorld. I mean, up, 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 they start going. Can you imagine? Boy, this has never happened before. They really had to trust God.
And it was lifted up above the earth. 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up upon the face of the water. 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered.
Metaphorically, hills in the Bible, especially Revelation, represents governments. All of the governments of the earth will be flooded with a lie that the Antichrist is God.
15, cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered.
And in the Bible, mountains means nations. No wonder our president's trying to get out of the United Nations. All nations will be flooded with a lie that Antichrist is God, that he is Theosata, God's Savior, because he'll say so, and the whole world will say so, and half the body of Christ will say so, but not you.
21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man.
Now someone says, but that was so cruel. No, it wasn't. God had said what to do, not to mix a seed. They had all disobeyed, and his whole purpose of bringing us in was to come and send his own son to pay the sin debt, and so everybody had messed up. However, let's look at God's mercy. Recently, I taught the book of Peter. You can find 1 Peter, 2 Peter on WMIEFM.com on demand. I taught it. In 1 Peter, it tells us that when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, he went in his transfigured body to paradise, and there he preached to all of the souls in paradise all the way back to Noah. And there Jesus set captivity free. All the people who were lost and on the wrong side of paradise, Luke 16, and that means these people who were destroyed, when Jesus paid the sin debt, before they saw his actual resurrected body, he went there and preached to them, and he said, I've just paid the sin debt. Don't you know that they all accepted Jesus? God is so good. He gave them a second chance.
22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and creeping things and the fowls of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his sons, their wives, and Noah's wife. 8 eth-hadamic souls, the only ones left with the right pedigree for Jesus to eventually come through.
In the ark. 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
150 days by the solar calendar is exactly 5 months. Now, you know the book of Daniel says the time of the Antichrist is 7 years. Then it was shortened to 3.5 years. I recently taught you the book of Mark, Mark chapter 13. You can go back and look it up. Jesus says, I'm shortening the time of the Antichrist for the elect's sake, lest nobody should be here. Everybody will be taken with the flood. And so, to what did he shorten it? The answer is found in Revelation chapter 9. It gives us a description there of a one who is called the King of the Bottomless Pit. In the Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, and in the Greek, his name is Apollyon. Abaddon, Apollyon, both mean destroyer. Who is the destroyer? The devil. Okay, you know that. So the Antichrist is the devil, and God has all, he says here that his time is 5 months. We have a second witness there in Revelation 9. God uses a metaphor of comparing those beautiful fallen angels that are coming with Satan in the sky, pretending to be ministers of God, as the locust army. So what is the natural time of a locust, a little insect? May through September, 5 months. So we have two witnesses in Revelation 9. The time of the locust army is 5 months, and the king of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, Apollyon, is 5 months. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. And five in biblical numerics is a number of grace. Now, during that five-month time, the whole world will worship him, and only the elect will know the difference, and we will be delivered up to him. But the Bible says, do not fear. The Gospel of Luke says, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. And in Revelation chapter 9, God has already told the devil, I'm paraphrasing, when you go down there and pretend to be Jesus and pretend to be God's Savior, do not touch anyone who's a green tree. Green means got the life of God, the word of God in him. Anyone with a seal of God in their forehead, you can't touch them. That means anyone who's got the word of God, the truth in your forehead, he can't touch you because you know the difference. You're not going to be flooded by the lie. Amen. You have been taught the truth. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we'll begin right there next time, but it's time now for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Boy, we're helping you with this Genesis, aren't we? I want to introduce to you, excuse me, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I have some questions here tonight.
Okay.
Okay. Our first question. What were the morning stars in Job 38?
Job 38, when God came up to Job and said, Job, do you remember when the morning stars clapped their hands and danced and shouted? The stars there in the manuscripts reads, children of God minus the flesh. He was saying, Job, do you remember the first day earth age when all of us before sin, that we shouted and we're all there together the same age, no death, no sickness, loving and praising the Lord. The children of God minus the flesh. God gave me a vision the other night. I see things beyond the veil, so I just thought I'd let you know about that. And he gave me a vision. I see very often beautiful blue globes coming to me, and I know they're angels. They sparkle, and then I see their faces, and I can see beyond them. So God showed me a vision of the heavens being filled with these beautiful blue stars, and then that they were twinkling at me, and God showed me that these stars are souls of the children of God. God says that those who have wisdom, if you be wise and you get wise by God's word, that you should shine as the stars forever. Children of God minus the flesh.
And we're going to sing together again, aren't we?
So you're going to sing Amen. Together.
Okay, our next question. Since the fallen angels refused to be born again, did that seal their doom?
That did seal their doom because, see, Jesus says you must be born again. That means born from above. But instead of being born from above and waiting their turn to come in born of women, they came to seduce the women. So they were not born again. They were not born from above. Revelation says that they've already been, their doom has been sealed. Right now they're being held in a place called Tarsus. Peter tells us that. And Jude tells us that in chains, they're going to be free to come with Satan for one more life party time. But when the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes, while the Antichrist will be here acting like God, those fallen angels, when they see the real Jesus coming with his entourage, the fallen angels are going to start to fight Jesus. And they, it says they will disintegrate be destroyed at the brightness of his coming. He's a consuming fire, so their doom is sealed.
Yeah, amen, amen. Okay, our last question. Where do I begin to learn the mystery of God?
Exactly what we're studying right here. The first six chapters of Genesis will get you the foundation, but you don't want to hear the fairy tale. You want to hear from the manuscripts. You want to hear of the first three earth ages, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the Geber, and then on to the seven trumpets. I taught that in Mark 13. But everybody needs, if you're going to be a good Christian, you ought to get this, download this, and get all of your Hebrew words, tuhu vabuhu, and it became, Genesis 1, verse 2, so you can explain what happened there, and so you can explain what happened to Cain, and you can explain what Eve did when she noggin, what that really means, and that's the mystery.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're
David
welcome.
Left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The Church of Esau lives by natural wisdom and energy, instead of taking one step at a time by the leading of the Holy Spirit. As Esau sold his birthright as the firstborn son to his brother Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew and bread, so the Esau church of today is controlled by the worldly spirit of immediate gratification and glory. She has no heart for the things of the spirit. The idolatries of the outward appearance of success and recognition by man have replaced the desire for the hidden life in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Scott. That is so great. We don't want to be the Esau church, do we?
Nope.
We don't care about fame or fortune or stuff. We care about souls, your soul. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray for the sick, but just before I do, because we care about your soul, if you're lost, please pray this prayer with me. Please mean it, and God will save you right here and right now. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
Seal my forehead with the word of God.
Seal my forehead with the word of God.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 In a few minutes, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message on my voice machine that you were saved so I can pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. He sent his word and healed you. He says he promises to recover health and cure. He'll heal all of your wounds, and with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. In the name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Ruach, the wind of God, will go through the sinuses and through the nasal passages and into the membranes of the head and all of the lungs and clear out, unclog all the breathing passages. Let the breath go through, breathe easily, and all discomfort be gone in Jesus' name. Right now, into the stomach that is upset and distressed, let the lining be healed and let there be divine order in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, you have no power. Joints and marrow be healed. Pain stop in Jesus' name. Crippled legs walk in Jesus' name. Feet be straightened out. Diabetes be gone in the name. Crohn's disease stop in Jesus' name. Diabetes be gone. Blind eyes see. Deaf ears hear. Hallelujah. Gums be healed. Teeth be rejuvenated, restored, repaired. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. We give you praise and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you. Boy, somebody got it because it came back to me. So feel free to call it also. Tell me you were healed, and God bless you, and I love you. I want to give a shout out of thanksgiving to Scott Merson, the owner of the Produce Place in Suntree, Florida, for his beautiful Scott stuff and for all he does. Thank you very much, Scott.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
And we appreciate you and we appreciate your beautiful family. Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Everything that you get is to give away. So you're supposed to give this. You are supposed to go into the world and tell. And the world may be the next person. There is no excuse for you hearing this good word and not sharing it. Everybody meets somebody. And then the next day you meet somebody else. It is your duty, it is your obligation to witness to people. No excuse. Shyness doesn't do it. Forget yourself and think of the Savior and go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and I really thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Now be sure to tell everybody about Trumpet of Truth. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together again as the family of God and we hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
because I'm happy, and I sing because
Jesus Christ is Lord of all who reign. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Jesus, take the beauty from the pain. Jesus, lift these weary hands again. turn the silence into songs of praise. Jesus, I am leaning on your name. Oh, I'm leaning on you.
Jesus, I will trust.